Are you being pulled over or are you being pulled in? Two retired law enforcement officers sharing their life story with hard-hitting reality of life on the job. At times they're funny, sometimes they're dead serious. Their mission, keep you entertained and educate you to what truly happens out on the streets. It's another day in the life of a cop. Get ready for the ride of your life. Welcome to Cop-ology.
Hey, we're back. This is Sarge.
And Bobby.
And we're having a little conversation here. We've been on a kind of, we've been busy at the academy. You've been teaching DT, and I've been doing firearms and medical, and we're trying to get some classes, and so we're trying to catch up and add more into our, into our bank so that we...
Don't leave anybody stranded out there, because I know we got a million listeners that just, they don't download anything.
Trillions.
Yeah.
Actually, we're doing pretty good.
The closet listeners.
Yeah, we do have, I know that, I think in England, didn't it cost money to download or something
like
that?
That's what my wife told me.
And we have listeners in Great Britain. We do have in the United Kingdom. But it doesn't indicate where they're listening from or what city.
Well, see, and my wife has family there, but right. I don't know that none of them report back that they're the ones listening. So I don't know. I know she said her brother and maybe her sister had listened. One of the right. two or both. I'm
but
not sure.
We're listened in 15 countries. So we have the United States.
Some of them can't understand us. That's probably why they...
Yeah, we have one.
They just listen for the sound. I don't know.
Obviously, United States. We have India is listening. Iceland's listening. We have the Philippines, Mexico, Canada, Puerto Rico, Denmark, Iceland. I think I said Iceland already, didn't I?
I don't know. I wasn't paying attention to you, actually. I have no idea.
But we do. We have 15...
I was looking up something on the topic of what we were going to discuss.
Yeah, we have people in 15 countries that do listen to us, and over 222 cities so far that have downloaded our podcast and listened to it. So we are reaching. We are growing. It's very slow, but we are growing, and we
appreciate.
Like a
fungus.
like a slow fungus, but I have fun doing this. It's actually very therapeutic. So we've been discussing on what we want.
Yeah, it saves a lot of money.
It does, doesn't it? we've been listening. We were asking for feedback, and some of you do give us feedback on.
It's the same people over and over, though.
Yeah, but still, for one of them, there's probably 25 or 30 that think the same thing. And in this situation, we were looking for things to talk about. Well, I have to give credit where credit is due. Bobby is the brainchild on what we're going to talk about. I'll be sitting in the room with him. We'll be sitting at the gun range, and I'll say, hey, what do you want to talk about? What's some topics you want to talk about? And he'll come up with some of the greatest stuff. I'm like, oh my gosh. So 95% of the stuff we talk about comes out of Bobby's noggin. So, hats off, man.
Wow.
You you are the smart. You came up with the name of the show.
Well,
amazing.
Can't take credit for everything.
We were sitting in the hot sun, and you came up. What about cop-ology?
At least you didn't say hot tub.
Yeah, really. I don't own a hot tub. and I was like, that's amazing. That's a really good job. So what we're going to talk about today?
Well, I had a few on the list, but I think we ADA and physical standards. Should there be physical standards for law enforcement? We had this conversation. It's funny that you and I talked about this probably a week ago when we were trying to figure out a date we could get together between your schedule and my schedule.
Right.
And I I have resorted now to typing them into my notes on my phone, because I'll have an idea. And if I don't write it down or put it on my phone, I'll forget it.
Oh,
and
I'm horrible.
I've had some really, I feel like they were really good ideas for show topics,
right?
But I didn't write them down. And then by the time you and I got around to talking about it, I forgot them. So it's funny that we're talking about this today, because yesterday I was at the gun range teaching the newest academy class. I say teaching lightly, because I don't know how much teaching we're doing with this new curriculum.
Yeah, we're just showing the new. We're showing what needs to be done, and then we let them practice it, and then we test them. I do like the new curriculum, though. I do.
Well, I like most of it. There's that small percentage that I think we're still, and this is another topic. I don't want to get sidetracked too much, but I think we're still creating.
Training scars. Sure, we are.
Because everything is in steps. Okay, so we're now moving, and that's a good thing.
Yeah,
we're not standing still, poking holes in paper, but now we're taking steps and we're moving. But we're only taking one step.
Well, you have safety into consideration. I mean, like at the gun range, we only have one way for downrange, but out on the street, everything's downrange.
Right. There is no downrange. A mentor of mine would say we live in paper houses. So, you know, whatever around can penetrate, it'll go through multiple layers of drywall. So,
oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But we were talking at lunch about physical fitness standards, and I didn't bring the subject up. Somebody else did. And I thought, how ironic that you and I had it on the list to talk about.
But how many times have we had that conversation when they're out on the gun range and they can't hold the guns up because they're tired? And it's like, why aren't we running them a mile and a half every day? Why aren't we making them do 30 push-ups, 30 sit-ups, just basic calisthenics to keep them in fairly good shape?
Well, and somebody said something yesterday. When's the last time you ran a mile and a half at work?
It's not the fact that you can run a mile and a half. It's stamina.
I realize it's a stamina test.
Because when was the last time you went 3 minutes toe-to-toe with a bad guy?
It's a cardiovascular stamina test. But when's the last time? The only time I did it was in SWAT tryouts.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, but the concept of being able to run a mile and a half, there's an endurance factor. Because when was the last time you went toe-to-toe with a bad guy for 3 minutes?
Well,
you know what I'm saying? You do that a lot more than you will a mile and a half. But if you run a mile and a half, you can sustain that 3 minutes a lot better.
I do understand that and maintaining your cardiovascular health to be able to build the stamina to continue in a fight. And that's what we want them to do is not just survive, but come out successful on the other end. Although I don't know that they do. Even if they physically are successful, mentally, we're not preparing them mentally. But that's
the agencies are getting better at that with critical incident stress debriefing. I believe that was very
well. And that we're going to hold that thought because
PTSD, right? Put that down on the list.
Well, it's
type two.
That I had a conversation with an officer that I worked with just the other day. I ran into him and we were talking, and he shared with me some things about his PTSD. And I think agencies do real well on those critical incidents, but they drop the ball short when it comes to the accumulative stress situations that officers bang out nightly. You know, the suicide.
So the fitness standards you're talking about can be physical and mental.
Well, no, I think the ones for today's discussion probably just should there be physical fitness standards. Clearly, I think that law enforcement views the psychological standards of your psychological.
Well, that's why they ask questions like, should horses be beaten and kicked? And if you go, yeah, it's a great idea, they're like, oh, red flag.
Depends on what the horse did.
Exactly.
what did he do?
He was plotting on me.
And speaking from somebody who got way out of shape for a while I was still employed as a police officer, and having to get back into shape
Oh yeah.
To go out for the SWAT team.
Well, I mean, when I got promoted, I mean, when I was a canine handler, I was easy running a mile and a half in 9 minutes. I was 215 pounds. Well, you remember?
Yeah.
And then I got promoted and I turned into the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man.
Well, I mean, what are your thoughts? Do you think there should be an annual physical fitness evaluation of officers?
Yeah, I do. I do in the sense that...
Like the military.
Yeah, I do, because you have to be mission ready. There is a guy who teaches ROTC at one of our local high schools. He's also on the city council in the city that I worked. And he's retired military army. And he's the ROTC instructor. I think lieutenant colonel or something like that. Really sharp guy. Guy's in really good shape. And I was having lunch with him one time, and in a group of people. And we were sitting next to each other and we were talking, and physical fitness standards came up. And one of the things that he said was, my mindset is I always want to be army strong or ready or something to the effect of, I want to be in shape so that if anything happens during peacetime, if it goes into war, or whether that's walking into a store and it turns out there's a crazy man, you know, fighting or something like that, up to having to deploy.
Right, nowadays you just have to train for life.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, with the you know, not to get off on a tangent, but the way criminal justice system is working, especially in the major cities, there's no bail.
We support the criminals getting healthy and in shape.
Yeah, basically.
Give them all kinds of time to, and weights.
Yeah.
And workout equipment and time and facilities to do it in.
Right.
But not law enforcement.
No, not at all. And I do believe that, you know, when it comes to the federal government, you know, the ADA, the American Disabilities Act. Okay, you're going to have issues. I mean, we have guys, great cops, that are 100% disabled from the military, VA, and they're getting, you know, a $3,000 a month stipend for being...
I got a problem with that.
Well, I don't think it's your whole body. I think it's like my hearing, okay? I have bad hearing. And it could be attributed to my time in the military.
If you're disabled...
You're disabled. I agree.
I don't see how you can hold a position in the emergency services.
Well, it's a... Like this guy, okay? He got blown up in an IED in Iraq. And so he's got some... knee issues, and he's got some ankle issues. He can run, but over a period of time, it hurts, and as a combat soldier...
Yeah, but I feel like we're just setting these folks up for further disability claims. And I'm not saying all of them. I'm not just generalizing, because I'm sure there are certain people that can be considered disabled from the military and still perform the task of law enforcement or...
But if I come in and I say I've got an elbow injury, okay, and it's hard to squeeze my left hand and I'm right-handed, okay, the military will say, okay, that's a 15% disability. I have hearing.
Yeah, they go off the chart.
Right, there's my chart. So my hearing is bad. I immediately will get a 10% disability. It's like $200 a month if I ever decide to go to the VA and apply and get it all taken care of.
Well, yeah, I can't hear either.
But. Exactly. So, but you understand what I'm saying. So right there, I would be 35% disabled. Or 25% disabled. Am I really 25% disabled?
I don't know.
Disabled?
You know, they took that in consideration. When I pulled my background packet and I read through it, a lieutenant who reviewed my background packet prior to my hiring denied... Like, they had approve and denial blocks, and he had checked denied, and his reasoning was my hearing. That he felt like my hearing, the deterioration of my hearing, would either later create or cause me to file a disability claim under the city.
Yeah, because once they hire you, they own it.
Yeah.
So I get that.
That was his non-approval of my... They hired me anyway, but...
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, it's convoluted. The whole thing is convoluted and it's muddied.
Well, the thing that was brought up at lunch, which I had seen most recently, was One of the instructors said that years ago they had a kneeling test.
I remember that. Yeah.
You had to get down on one knee and then get up without using the support of something else to get yourself back up to a standing position. Mm-hmm. And of course that's not done now. It's not even done during the PAT test,
right,
where they're given the physical fitness test to get into the academy, and all of our local agencies use as a basis for, right, your physical fitness.
Right.
Which isn't hard.
It's Cooper. It's like a Cooper test.
It's not even the Cooper. Doesn't follow Cooper standards. Oh, well, not the old Cooper standards I was familiar with. If Cooper standards have changed, I'm unfamiliar with that.
Right.
But, you know, this is the run, drag the dummy, climb over a 4-foot fence, underneath, low crawl,
right,
you know, and in time. It's all for time. You get out of the patrol car, you got to run through the zigzag all the way down to, I think it's a mile run. I don't remember what the length of the run is. Do you know what the Pat run is?
No, I don't know.
And then come back, and you got to do it all in under, I think they've raised the time now.
Yeah.
It was under 4 minutes, I think.
Yeah, somebody told me, because when they asked me if I would like to become a reserve for BC, for the sheriff's office, the guy that was in charge of it said, yeah, you can walk it, you'll pass it. And I'm like, I don't want to do it because I don't want to have to run. I'm an old man.
Well, I know that the sheriff's office raised their time.
Yeah.
Because it was,
but I don't think that helps anybody. I mean, my idea being is that there should be a certain standard that you must be able to perform as a person in law enforcement, military, firefighter, whatever it is that you're going to get into. And if you can't meet that, I don't believe the ADA should apply, because you're not capable of doing the job. See, people
need not even a mile.
Yeah, people understand that when you're dealing with law enforcement, and you have an individual who is out of shape to the point where they can't function in a fight or in a critical incident, that individual is an armed individual. So you're giving access to a firearm to a bad guy.
Right. So, every encounter you have.
So I think that could be an argument to raise. But when it comes to the academies, I think we're doing them a disservice. Like when I went to the academy in 89, every morning we got to the academy an hour and a half early, and we put on our gym clothes and we ran 6 miles every day. We did push-ups. We did sit-ups. We did pull-ups. We did, you know,
oh, we ran
sprints,
every day.
We did low crawls.
Anywhere from a mile and a half to 5 miles a day,
easy,
depending,
you know,
on.
And they would, we would run this
time.
Yeah, and we knew how far we would run if we got to a certain park, and we did one lap. And if we did another lap, we knew we were going to do, because it was like a mile and a half around.
Right.
So, you know, if you did three laps, you knew you did 6 miles that day. It was just one of those things where you just followed.
So here's the PAT test.
Right.
From the FDLE website, right? You got to exit the vehicle, open a trunk of the vehicle, run 220 yards, complete an obstacle course, drag a 150-pound dummy, complete the obstacle course again, run another 220 yards, dry fire weapon 6 times with each hand, and place items in the trunk, and then re-enter the vehicle and shut the door. And it's all for time.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to have your hands at the 10 to 2 position. You have to do this, right? And according to FDLE's website, 6 minutes and 4 seconds. Now, here's what I understand. I've seen this as a defensive tactics instructor. People complete that, and they're getting into the academy. Yet they can't get up off the ground without supporting their weight. Like from a kneeling position, we teach, there's a couple pressure point techniques that we teach from a kneeling position.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't get up,
right,
without grabbing their partner,
Right.
And pulling themselves up to a standing position.
And you're doing stretches and you're doing everything before you even start every day.
Oh, yeah. We do a warm-up.
Yeah, you got to do a warm-up.
We do...
See that, and that's one of the reasons why I felt that if I had become a reserve... See, I have really bad knees and I have bad ankles because of canine. 15 years out of my 37 years on the road, I was a dog handler. And when I mean dog handler, my 4 years in the Air Force, I was 4.5 years in the Air Force, 4 years as a canine handler. I was in the jungles of the Philippines, running around through washouts, you know, running, jumping, climbing trees kind of a thing. And then when I got to my agency, it was tracks through, you know, thick woods, going in through ditches, you know, over curbs. I mean, I was constantly taping my ankles up and taping my knees up, you know, putting support on them. So like in the new academy, one of the prerequisites under cover and concealment is you have to walk up to the 7 yard line. They yell gun, or they hit the beeper on the timer, and you have 12 seconds to shoot 3 rounds while moving to cover. You have to reload and then engage the target from a different location, whether it's kneeling on the right side, because you enter on the right side, or go to the left side standing or kneeling and engage the target.
Right, I think prone is also an option.
Prone, yeah, I'm assuming it is. I can't remember. I have to look at it. But the problem being is I don't go to the kneeling position on the right side because I know I'm going to need to use the barricade to get back up.
Well, I think there's some tactical argument that at that distance, who would want to kneel in front of somebody? And what we really ought to be teaching, in my opinion, is how to transition your handgun from your right hand to left hand and shoot from around an obstacle with your non-dominant hand,
sure,
supported by your dominant hand.
Well, the good thing is our academy does do that. It may not be part of the curriculum, but it's...
Well, we do
know,
that.
At the very
we do
end,
that,
we do
but
the
we don't
survival
offer
shooting.
That in that particular drill.
No, we don't.
It's not offered. And in fact, it's not even promoted. I did it in unintentionally. I'm a big believer that you need to be somewhat ambidextrous with
yes.
your equipment.
And you do. You carry, I see you, you have a gun belt with a lefty on it.
Yeah.
And I know it helps you because you're left eye dominant and you shoot a rifle left-handed. But you are one of the only people that I know that take that seriously and practice that almost on a weekly basis.
Well,
I don't do that. I should, but I don't.
But I think we should be teaching that because I think in that scenario, I've taken a knee and shot from that position.
Right.
And I'm like you, my knees are, I won't say they're shot, but it doesn't do me any good to take a kneeling position and then try to get up because it's uncomfortable. And in reality, at that distance,
I'm more stable. Yeah.
I'm probably not going to take a kneeling position.
No, not with a suspect that close.
Uh-uh. Because I want to be able to move quickly.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I would probably go.
I mean, there's some good things about it though, you know?
Yeah. Well,
you know, they teach you don't crowd the barricade, which is
no,
extremely important.
The drill is fine. The drill is fine.
No, I get what
I would
you're
rather
saying.
See us teach to transition out to the opposite side and utilize your non-dominant hand to fire your
yeah.
Your
well,
other
in
round.
In their defense, standards or one of the tests that you have to do is you have to shoot, you know, support hand only, but it's only one-handed.
Right.
It's only and that it simulates being shot in the right, you know, in your dominant hand and having to transition to your. To your non-dominant. So they are getting something.
I think you should have to qualify with your non-dominant hand.
We do in the new 38. In the new 38, one of the requirements is you have to shoot 3 rounds. You mean shoot the whole thing?
The whole thing.
That's a great idea.
The whole thing.
Well, that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad idea at all. That's intriguing. I like that because, you know, one of the things...
Increase the time, do the transitions, or create a new non-dominant time frame. How long would it take you to pull your gun belt around, disassemble the safety mechanisms on your holster.
You mean for qualification, for an actual, Well, that's interesting. That's intriguing. That may weed out a lot more people, so they may not want to go for that.
Back to the ADA thing. That whole physical fitness standard that we currently have to get into the academy, and then most agencies use that as a weeding out process for applicants in their hiring process, because either they go through the college to pull their applicants, or if you go to the agency for the, I know the sheriff's office does their own testing.
Yeah.
Has their own obstacle course set up like the college has set up. Mm-hmm. It still doesn't weed out, because I've seen applicants come into defensive tactics and they can't get up off their knees.
Yeah, I've seen applicants like that as well.
They can't get up on their own feet without supporting assistance. Either they have to push off the ground or they have to push off their own leg.
Yeah.
To get to a standing position.
And these are young people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I remember we've had,
and because we do falls, I see it a lot in falls. I see, you know, they're not capable of getting back to their feet. And it's not hard. It's not difficult the way we've designed the standing, how to get to a standing position.
Right.
Some of them make it difficult, but I've seen how can you get through, what are we missing in our quest for physical fitness standards? Because honestly, I don't believe that somebody that can't get up under their own power doing essentially a lunge should pass the physical fitness standards to become a police officer. They're putting themselves in jeopardy and they're putting other people in jeopardy coming into...
Yeah. Yeah, every cadet that goes on to FTO at a police academy is going to be carrying a gun.
But then when did you get to an agency? If you've met those standards through the academy, once you get to an agency, there's nothing to prevent you.
Well, that's a whole different conversation there. That's a whole different conversation on why agencies don't do half of what they should
do. Well, ADA scares them, that's why.
Of course, yeah.
Like they have to make reasonable accommodations for people coming in. And
yeah, so, you know, I just think that, I don't know if there should be a tweak to the ADA, but I do believe that it's important that police officers take it very serious. And it not because, you know, I can run a mile and a half in 9 minutes. I'm talking about going toe-to-toe with a guy high on an illegal substance or a non-illegal substance or somebody that's out there. And you will come across them in your career where they just don't feel pain. There's some really bad people out there. And
been there.
And if you go toe-to-toe with these people, it's a life and death situation, and you've got to have the stamina to maintain that until the cavalry arrives. Now, some people listening to this may live in a part of rural America. Like, we have a listener in Montana. I'm sure that if the person who's listening to us
about there, you're fighting bear.
Yeah, but the thing is when you call for help, how far are they out? There's places in South Carolina that deputy sheriffs will be involved in a situation, the closest unit's the state police, and he's 45 minutes away.
Oh, well,
now,
I mean,
triple that when you get into Texas.
That happens here. I mean, they're not 45 minutes out, but they can be.
Western Oregon, there's people that have to travel the equivalency of the width of the state of Florida to get to the other side of their jurisdiction.
Oh, I know. I went to a conference, and there was some guys from Texas, and he's like, yeah, I've gone 10-18 for 18 hours to get to a call in my county.
Wow. That's crazy. I mean, the worst one that I ever did is they had a missile in the Kansas, Nebraska, Colorado area. They had missile silos. And there was a CERT team that went down. And I don't know what it was, mechanical, or if somebody got sick. I don't know what it was. But they called me. And I was at McConnell in Wichita, and they said, we have an alarm on such and such, whatever it was. And it was literally inside the Nebraska-Colorado area. And they're like, you need to run 1018, or 1018 is the code for emergency run.
Right.
License siren. Yeah, license siren. And I did. And I had to stop and get gas on the way there and on the way back.
Did you leave your lights on?
Yeah. No, not when I was filling up my gas. You know, and running code, get off the exit. Grab a soda.
Run in, go to the bathroom.
I knew you just wanted to get something to eat. But no, that's the way it is. And so it's, you know, wow. I mean.
Yeah, I'm probably going to turn off some listeners because I believe there's, even though. And I was that fat guy. I was that guy.
Yeah, I am that fat guy.
I'm still not down to what, you know, when I was in the military, I think my preferred weight in the military for my height was 185 pounds.
How tall are you?
I'm 6 foot, but the
military.
Okay, because
I was 6'2".
The military had me at 5'11", but.
Yeah. I was
the
six.
Last time I, and my wife argues this, but the last time I went for a physical, I was surprised because barefoot.
Wow.
the nurse even measured me twice.
Your hair down?
Yeah, she measured me twice. She's he's like, got, he's I got said, a, she said, "You're 6 foot," and I said, "No, I'm not."
Bobby's got a beehive. So I don't have any hair up there.
No, I'm not 6 foot. I've always been either 5'11", 5'11 and a half. I've never been 6 foot. She goes, "I'll do it again." I said, "Yeah, because nobody's going to believe that." You know?
That's right. Most people shrink when they get older.
Right.
Because I was 6'.
My feet got bigger and I grew taller. I don't know what. I put on a pair of boots to go to the range yesterday, and they're too small for me.
Wow.
I'm growing.
That's crazy. That's nuts, man.
So. Yeah. But anyway, I...
You're morphing.
185 was...
You're like a crab. You're getting ready to shell off yourself.
Yeah.
You
know? 185 was what I was supposed to
Mine
weigh.
Mine was 218. I was 6'3". I was 6'3".
Yeah, but yeah, you were 6'3". And that's skinny. That was scrawny.
When I was in the Air Force, when I joined the Air Force, I was 220, 225, roughly, you know, which is actually a very good weight for me.
I actually lost weight. When I joined the military, I was probably within 10 pounds of being on the fat boy program. I think I was 195 going in,
right,
and I dropped down 165.
Yeah, when I was in, I was at 220, 225, and when I graduated, I was 190. And when I came home for leave before it was during the Christmas break, so it was right after LE school and before K-9. And because I deployed to the Philippines in March of the following year,
but
my
same thing
wife
happened.
Looked at me. My wife looked at me. She goes, "You look horrible." It's like, "Good to see you too, honey." You know,
that the same thing happened when I went to police academy. I went from 195 to 165.
Yeah, because we were running every day. You know, like when I was K-9 in the military, we had.
But
fitness
why aren't
standards.
We doing that today? Why aren't we
doing
that?
I think it's
because
the ADA. I think I don't know if it's, you know, I can get into you want to go down a conspiracy hole. What better way to neuter this country than to take away the standards that made fighting men? Because I mean, you think about it. Somebody posted.
You got a point.
I'm going to go off on a tangent here, and I apologize.
You got a point.
But I saw a video, and it's going around social media now. And it's Chinese kids that are bouncing basketballs and while they're sitting down and doing calisthenics and gymnastics and marching and doing all that kind of stuff. And then it shows our kids going into schools and teachers are dressed up like rainbows and they got purple hair and they're flinging flags. And I think to myself, we're going to lose the next war because our generations and our earlier generations, if you guys disagree with me on this, let me know.
If we have a country to defend.
That's right. Copologypodcast@gmail.com. Let me know. But we are introducing into our military. We're introducing into our civilian, whatever.
Well, clearly,
society. Clearly
there is
inclusion and diversity,
and
everybody
there,
else
there
is preparing for war.
Some degradation of both law enforcement and military. I haven't seen it yet in the fireside, but we're allowing immigrants to come in and apply for academies, agencies,
military
service. Yeah, there is some sort of degradation of those entities going on across the country. But they're probably in better shape than some of the people that are flying.
Yeah, well, they just walked from Kenya. Yes, they are. They understand.
Should we reintroduce?
Yes, I think we should. I think we really should.
Get rid of the ADA requirements.
I don't think you should get rid of the ADA in the sense that if somebody is.
Well, it's making reasonable accommodations for somebody.
When it comes to reasonable accommodations, I think there should be limitations on that. If you're going to be a police officer and you're going to get out and you're going to go toe-to-toe with people, potentially go hands-on with somebody, you should be able to do that.
Because my wife tells me that in the UK, well, they think all American cops are donut-eating fat slobs because they have a physical fitness standard over there that you can't be overweight. And I've not done any research into it because I take her word for it.
Yeah.
But you don't see a whole lot of bobbies over there.
Who are fat.
Who are overweight.
Mm-mm. No, not at all.
At all.
There's
some big guys, they're big, but just big by nature.
Well, it just goes to show that we shouldn't have the government regulate common sense. Because they can't do it.
Well, they don't have any common sense.
I mean, my thing is if you were to take a standard and apply that standard to everybody, to the people who can't do it, then the idea would be you can't sue to get that job. You just can't do the job. These are the requirements. But the problem is that we keep making accommodations for everybody, and we've dumbed it down to the point. I mean, it's to the point now where. If an individual, we had an individual. No, I don't even think that applies. We had an individual that couldn't read,
that's different.
He had one of the requirements to be employed. You had to be CPR certified, so we'd have to read the test to him. He passed the test because I had to read the test to him.
He couldn't read.
He could not read. He was illiterate.
I think I know this guy.
Yeah, and a super nice guy, super hard worker. But he wasn't a police officer. He was like maintenance.
I'm thinking of another guy. I'm thinking of a cop.
I don't know of any cops that can't read. I do know that I've had some that work for me that were very dyslexic. So,
there was one that I questioned his...
Comprehension?
Comprehension. And
yeah, my agency or yours?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Came from, went to.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking
about. He turned out to be a hell of a cop.
Yeah, I think that was one of the situations where it was like dyslexia or something. And if I'm not mistaken, they sent them to some type of classes, like night classes, where it actually helped tremendously. So I don't have a problem with that. But what I do have a problem is if you have somebody who's incapable of doing the job because of a birth defect or an injury, you know, I don't want somebody.
I think if you can maintain a standard, then you can hold the position. But I do think there should be annual standard testing to make sure
you're maintaining it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care if you have, because we had a guy with a prosthetic leg or portion of a limb. You guys, I'm not sure if you guys, I know the SO's got officers that have prosthetic.
There's an episode of Cops where there's
a
deputy
in South Florida. Yeah,
he was in Palm Beach County, and he told the guy, yeah, you can tell all your friends you got run down by one legged cop.
I don't consider them disabled. Well, if they can. And some of them are actually in better physical condition.
Yeah. Well, what about those Navy SEAL that lost his leg?
Well, they had so many.
And he literally, instead of retiring out of the Navy, he went and got the prosthetic, trained with the prosthetic, took the test, passed the test, and he's back in combat. He was back in combat in Afghanistan with one leg.
Yeah, he's kind of an animal.
Yeah, he is. Animal. That guy is a... Yeah, he's definitely not... He's definitely not the norm.
I'm impressed.
But, oh yeah, very
but
much
I,
so.
I don't consider if you can meet the standard or exceed the standard and maintain that.
But should agencies that every year? Should agencies say that? Now, I had a we had this conversation at my agency, and one of the things
honestly,
that I said
I
was,
think there should be annual. I think a requirement of employment should be an annual physical with the entire workup and stress test, as well as a physical fitness test, to make sure that you're fit for duty.
I think that's a good idea. But I think that if it, what they like in our case, because of the ADA, I think what they should do is say, we're going to do this. You have to participate every year. If you pass, you get a stipend.
Well, that's a wellness program.
It's a wellness program. But that, unfortunately,
agencies,
with the federal government in the way,
a lot of
that's
agencies
not the only way
have
you can do
that.
It.
A lot of agencies have that built into their contracts,
right?
Because they want to make, that's how they get extra money. They want to incentivize people to get healthy.
No, I get it. No, I totally understand that.
Look, I had getting to get hired, you have to go through a physical, EKG.
Yeah.
The only thing you don't do is a stress test, but that wouldn't be a bad thing to add. Mm-mm. And my opinion is that should be maintained. You should maintain. It would have been a benefit for me because I got fat and lazy. I got lazy as a detective, mm-hmm. and I said, F it. I'm just going to get fat and happy. And I did until some guys in my unit said, hey, come out.
That's a Truman do that.
Come out for SWAT. Come out for SWAT.
And you're huffing and puffing.
And I was like, man, I am not in the shape to do that. And they're like, no, just come out anyway. Yeah, so here's my fat rear end running around doing SWAT stuff. And I realized the first time I went out for SWAT,
right.
I completed everything,
right?
But I was nowhere near in physical condition to, and I'll stay in the fight mentally. I'd stay in the fight physically. I could do it, but I jumped out of the back of the SWAT truck we had a drill for SWAT tryouts, and it was, you had to go in to a assault a bus. A school bus,
right?
And they had targets in the bus, and you had to come in the front of the bus, up the stairs, take out these targets with some munitions, and then jump out the back of the bus, the emergency exit. There's no stairs. I hit the ground on my feet and went straight to my knees. My legs had given out. Now I was able to get up and. Because you had to run to every event.
Yeah.
So I was able to get up from that and run back to, because what they would do is they would run you from the SWAT truck. After you did all your physical fitness stuff, the running and jumping and sprinting and push-ups and sit-ups and pull-ups and all that, then you were ushered off into the SWAT van where you lived the rest of your day. Which was generally an 8-hour day, 18-hour day by the time everything was said and done. But then they would pull you out one by one. Here's your assignment. Go take care of it. And you'd have to run to the assignment, take care of it, and then run back to the truck. And all of it was quasi-timed. But I was in no condition to do all that. And I would have been, had there been a standard set in place that I had to complete annually, I would have had no problem. I told you that I was actually told, like, well, you passed. You didn't pass the physical fitness standards, but you clearly are capable based on your resume and your...
Nice effort, fatty.
Yes. And it was, I know it was going to happen. Come on. It's like playing football with that fat kid. Go long.
Yeah,
go
right.
long. That's what I used to say all the time. I get it. Go along, Bob. Go along. But we'll throw the ball to you the next time.
Right.
Just keep running. Keep running. So the second time I actually put forth a huge amount of effort, losing about 60 pounds and getting into shape to do it. But that is, although that's a extra duty in your job, I should have never got to that point,
right.
I guess is my point. And if you don't have the personal drive to stay in shape, for the benefit of yourself and the others that you work with, then I think there should be a standard put into place saying you have to maintain this. You came in with this. You've got to maintain it.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think this is that lives are in jeopardy if you don't. But you know, you're going to have people argue ADA. So if you do have an argument about that, let us know.
But there are guys that there are guys and girls. I'm not excluding women from the mix, but there are people in law enforcement that are clearly physically I don't want to say disabled, because I don't think they consider themselves disabled, but that have prosthetic limbs,
yes,
that can function at a higher level than some people that don't.
I agree.
And that's wonderful. And
more but power. In the grand scheme of things, I want somebody like that patrolling my streets. Sure. With that type of mentality.
Sure.
Absolutely.
The mental fortitude that it takes to overcome those physical obstacles is
we're so quick to get into old poor and pitiful me, and it's right. Like it's like the poem, I never saw a wild thing sorry for itself. A bird will fall frozen from a bough, never once feeling sorry for itself. That's a motto of the Navy SEAL, right? You know, so it's a good mental preparation.
You wowed me with your poetry.
I did, didn't I? Well, it actually came from the movie G.I. Jane, but you know, but it's relevant. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or ideas or comments, let us know. Gmail at podcast.
Or am I wrong?
No, you are not wrong. You're dead on. So,
you agree, but somebody's got to disagree.
Absolutely. If you disagree, let us know. We'd love to hear from you. Copology Podcast@gmail.com. And let us know what you think about this. I think Bobby brought up some really good points. I know I parroted him. We are in the process of upgrading so we can start having people on with different opinions. But until then,
but we're not going to invite them. We don't want to hear their opinions.
That's right. You can only come on if you agree with us. So with that, this is Sarge.
Hi, Bobby.
Thanks for listening, guys. We'll catch you on the next show.
Be safe.
Topology.